Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy as always to be along with you on the afternoon drive. And today, we got a great show lined up for you. We've been talking a lot of college football, and we're going to continue on with that today. Earlier in the week, we brought in James Couser, NFL prospect from Southern Utah. Yesterday, it was Coach Kyle Whittingham. Today, Nelson Spruce. That name may sound familiar if you're into Pac-12 football. He is the all-time Pac-12 leader in career receptions. He did it with the Colorado Buffaloes over a brilliant four-year career, and now he is preparing for the NFL. So he's going to join us today. We'll talk Utes and Buffalo rivalry with him. I'm looking forward to that interview. That'll be in just a bit. Also today, we've got to focus on the boxing scene. Tomorrow, Manny Pacquiao is stepping back into the squared circle. This fight does not have a whole lot of buzz behind it. He's fighting Timothy Bradley for the third time. It is a fight that I believe needs a third fight. It needs some closure, and I'll tell you why a little bit later on in the show. But for the most part, Bradley won the first fight. That win did a lot of damage to Timothy Bradley's marketability, to his reputation, because it was so highly controversial. A lot of people do not feel that he won the fight. He lost the second fight. I think Timothy Bradley right now is a top six, top five pound-for-pound fighter in the world, and he'll have a chance to get a little bit of revenge on Manny Pacquiao. To me, that is a huge fight. I'm really looking forward to it. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. And also today, we're going to talk NBA basketball. Tonight, here on KOAL, the Utah Jazz, they return to action. They'll take on the Los Angeles Clippers. This is a big game. Now, the Clippers are resting pretty much everyone. According to reports, no Chris Paul, no Blake Griffin, no DeAndre Jordan, no J.J. Redick, no Wesley Johnson. The Clippers apparently will suit about 7 to 8 guys tonight. That's great news for the Utah Jazz. That's horrible news for the Dallas Mavericks. The Jazz are trying to run down Dallas. Dallas right now one full game up on the Jazz for the 7th spot. It's also bad news for the Houston Rockets. The Rockets, they're 2.5 games behind Dallas for that 7th spot and just a game and a half behind the Jazz. So a very important game tonight for the Jazz. The one thing to remember, if Utah wins out, they go to the postseason. They control their own destiny because they have the lead right now on Houston. Now, if the Rockets somehow battle back and the Jazz end tied, well, as it stands right now, Houston would have the tiebreaker over the Jazz via Western Conference record. So there's a lot at stake in this game tonight. Let's take a look at the full slate of NBA games. We'll begin in the Eastern Conference. 5 o'clock tip-off for this one tonight. Brooklyn on the road to take on the Charlotte Hornets. Miami on the road to take on the Orlando Magic. New York also on the road. They'll take on Philadelphia. Boston will play host to Milwaukee. Detroit will play host to the Wizards, and then the Raptors welcoming in Indiana. 6 o'clock tip-off tonight, the Western Conference. Kobe Bryant, the farewell tour, winding down the Lakers. They make a stop in New Orleans. A tip-off for this game is at 6. Memphis is at Dallas. The Nuggets will play host to the San Antonio Spurs, who took a beating last night at the hands of Golden State. LaMarcus Aldridge hurt his finger early on in that game. It was a closely contested contest till Aldridge left, and then it really seemed like San Antonio was sucked into what Golden State wanted to do. That game was played to the specific style of Golden State. And if that happens, if these two teams meet up in the Western Conference Finals and Golden State manages to get San Antonio to play their game early on, I don't think the Spurs have a chance in a 7-game set with Golden State. But again, tonight, San Antonio looking to get back on the right track. They'll take on the Nuggets. And then the nightcap here on KOAL, David Locke, Ron Boone, bringing you the live play-by-play call as the Utah Jazz will take on the Los Angeles Clippers B team. And there is nothing wrong with that, Jazz fans. Get the victory any which way you can. Jordan Spieth looking for his second consecutive win at the Masters. He's managed to widen his lead just a little bit. We will take a look at the leaderboard for the Masters in just a bit. Spieth really doing some work. Last time I looked at it, he had a three-stroke lead. Let's continue on. We'll take a look at some college football news. This is interesting. It was announced today that Notre Dame and Texas, of course, they're going to open up the regular season against one another. The game was originally set for September 3rd. It has been moved to Sunday night, September 4th. So Notre Dame and Texas, September 4th, Sunday night, primetime matchup a week before the NFL kicks off. I like it. I really like it. We also get Alabama-USC that weekend as well. A lot of great college football to open up the season. But Notre Dame and Texas will now be playing Sunday night in primetime, again, the week before the NFL kicks off. We got a loaded show for you. Again, we're going to talk boxing with our insider, Calvin Miller. He's going to join us. I know he's set to cover the event this weekend, so we'll get a report from him. Also, we're going to talk to Nelson Spruce of the Colorado Buffaloes, some more college football talk, because you can never get enough college football talk. We could talk all day about college football. I'd be perfectly fine with it. It's coming up on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports. We're back in just a moment.
There's no crying. No crying in baseball!
Drive Time Sports is Eastern Utah's main source for local and national daily sports news and debate. Join Jordan Buscarini every Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM. You really never know who will stop by.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL.
That's Drive Time Sports Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM.
Can't wait!
In 5, 4, 3, 2...
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Real name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the game. Real name, no gimmicks.
That's why I ain't got no.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, and we've been talking a lot of college football throughout the week. We go back to Wednesday, we had James Couser, defensive end from Southern Utah, who set the all-time record for sacks at the FCS level. Yesterday, we had head coach Kyle Whittingham of the Utah Utes. And today, we're going to continue on with the Pac-12 and talk with an NFL draft prospect. He set the all-time mark for career receptions in the Pac-12 this past year. He's wide receiver Nelson Spruce from the Colorado Buffaloes. Nelson, great to get you on today. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me.
Absolutely. It's got to be a fun time for you. I mean, we talked to James Couser earlier in the week, the defensive end for Southern Utah University. He talked about the combine and pro day in the interview process. What a unique time. I mean, this is something that not too many people get to experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a fun, you know, special time. At the same time, it's also been pretty hectic. I mean, now it's kind of settled down for me now that, you know, the combine and pro day is over. But, you know, when all that stuff was going on, it was kind of nonstop.
How stressful is the combine and pro day? Because, I mean, you're basically performing for quote-unquote experts and team management to kind of dictate your future. How stressful is that?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And, I mean, it's just kind of leading up to it, I was kind of nervous, you know, kind of anxious. But once I got there, you just stay so busy that, you know, you really don't even have time to think about it. So, I mean, it was definitely a kind of a stressful period, but, you know, I feel like I did really well throughout it all. And, you know, at the same time, I'm kind of glad it's over. Now I can focus more on, like, football-specific stuff.
Well, let's talk about your career at Colorado. I mean, you broke pretty much every receiving record that exists at the school. I think you had something like 42 records. I seen a little bit of a production drop-off this past year compared to the year before. I mean, you got off to such a smoking hot start in 2014. You had 105 catches for something like 1,200 yards, and then a little bit of a production drop-off this year. What did you contribute to that?
I mean, I think it was just a case where I got a little bit more attention, you know, because going into my junior year in 2014, I was kind of under the radar, you know, so that I was able to kind of, you know, do my own thing without getting a lot of attention from defenses. But after that year, I feel like going into games in my senior season, defenses were kind of prepared for, you know, what I had. And, I mean, I think another thing was our younger receivers stepped up a lot in 2015, and we were kind of able to spread the ball out a little bit more, so I think that's kind of what led to the slight decrease in numbers.
Recently, over the last couple of years, we've had Paul Richardson on the show multiple times. I know you got to play along, Paul. Here's a guy that goes second round, plays for the Seahawks. Yeah. He's endured some injury problems, but how much better of a player did Paul Richardson make you at Colorado?
I mean, he definitely did. Just seeing the way he worked in the high level of production that he was at. Once he was gone, you know, I knew it was kind of my spot to fill. And I didn't want to, you know, have the team have any drop off from a wide receiver standpoint. So that kind of made me elevate my game, you know, work super hard in the off season so that I could be ready to step into that position.
Yeah, I mean, definitely somebody to learn from nonetheless. I mean, he's played at a high level. We've also had Coach Mike McIntyre on the show. Love getting Coach Mack on. Give me your assessment of Coach Mack, the job that he's done at Colorado, because I know things have really picked up here in the previous years.
I mean, when he came in, you know, we were kind of at a low point as a program. So what he's done, he's brought us so far. You know, I think it took a little bit for the team to fully buy in, just because anytime you're going to get a new coach in, there's going to be a little bit of a culture change and people are going to be hesitant to kind of be all the way on board. But now I think it's at the point where everyone's on board. You know, and if you watch any of our games last year, you see how, you know, close we are to getting some big Pac-12 wins. So I think this year is going to be kind of the turning point where some of those close games that we ended up losing last year, those are going to turn into wins. And I think, you know, we're going to finally start seeing the bus head in the right direction.
Again, our guest right now is a former Colorado Buffalo wide receiver Nelson Spruce. He's the all-time leader in career catches for the Pac-12, but that's something that's nice to have on the resume, right? I mean, it's such a prestigious conference to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, looking back at it now, it didn't even really hit me when it first happened. But, you know, looking back at it now, looking at some of the receivers that have played in this conference, it's something, no matter how long that record stands, just to be able to say that I've held the Pac-12 record for reception, you know, at some point is, you know, something I'll always look back on and always cherish.
We're a Ute affiliate station here, so we get to listen to the Utes every Saturday during football season. I believe that the NCAA, the Pac-12, they've done a great job of trying to initiate a rivalry between Colorado and Utah. Give me your take on who the big rival is for the Buffaloes out of the Pac-12 when you guys take the field.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question it's Utah. I mean, we've played on the last, or my 4 years when I played, it was a close game every time. I mean, unfortunately, you guys won every time, but I think it's a good rivalry, you know, geographically, and, you know, it's a good matchup. And it was something I look forward to every year, being the last game of the season. So I think that's only going to continue to grow as a rivalry.
Nelson, let's move on. Let's talk about your possible NFL career. Now, according to what some of the scouts are saying, I love this comparison, by the way, the one I'm going to throw at you, and this one is actually on the NFL draft page, a comparison to Danny Amendola. Now, I see so many similarities between you two. First off, Amendola has been a key slot receiver, not only for the Rams, but now for the Patriots. I think you got a true role as a number two or a number three wideout in this league. Both of you guys, lethal in punt returns. And Danny Amendola was an undrafted free agent, and a lot of the predictions that I've seen for you are anywhere from the fifth round to possibly an undrafted rookie. I like the comparison to Danny Amendola. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a compliment. He's had, you know, a solid career in the NFL, and I definitely see some similarities in our game. I see myself working more out of the slot like him. I think we're both kind of intelligent receivers that can find the open space and, you know, have sure hands and just really reliable all the way around. So that's a comparison I'll definitely take any day.
Any analysis on your pro days or your combines or anything that you have done up to this point, the main strength that continues to pop up is your route running. What have you done to your game that makes you such an efficient route runner, and how do you do it so well?
I mean, I think it's just repetition, really. And a lot of it is almost knowledge of the game, just, you know, lining up pre-snap and being able to identify what type of coverage it is so that, you know, I can get, if I have any adjustments I need to make to my routes, I can do that quickly without thinking, so I can play fast. And then the rest of it is really just repetition, you know, working my breaks and getting in and out of my breaks quick, and just being really precise with all that, I think. You know, I've been doing this for so long, and that's something I've always kind of taken pride in my route running. So, you know, I'll just continue to keep sharpening that up.
Now, we just talked about the strengths that a lot of scouts have on you. Let's talk about a weakness here. They say that quarterbacks know that you can't run by them. To me, that's not necessarily a problem because you're such a fantastic route runner. But, you know, you run, I think, what did you run at the combine? It was like a 4.6 40, right? Is that what you ran?
Yeah.
Okay. 4.6 40. So when you talk about the speed and the lack of the speed, how do you get past that at the next level?
I mean, I feel like I've had a pretty successful career to this point without that, you know, blazing straight line speed. And I think it goes back to my route running, like you said, just, you know, being able to set up corners in different ways, you know, being able to, you know, set them up one way and break in another direction just to create a little bit of separation. And then another part that I feel like helps me out is my hands. You know, even if I don't have the most separation in the world, I'm usually going to come down with the tough catches. So, I mean, that's not really something I'm stressing on. I know that they place a lot of emphasis on that, your 40 time, but, you know, I know I'm confident in my game and that I'll be able to be successful, you know, no matter what my 40 time is.
What have the scouts and the teams, front offices, what have they been telling you? What's the biggest message that you've taken away from the pro day, the combine, leading into the draft in just a couple of weeks?
I mean, I've had a lot of good conversations with a bunch of teams, especially at the combine. It was, I mean, obviously, like I said, the speed was just something they asked me about, but it wasn't really something they were concerned about just because I think my film speaks for itself. You know, I was playing in the Pac-12 against some of the best corners and defenses in the country, and I was still able to be successful. So they recognize that, and a lot of them said that they like my game. They like how reliable of a receiver I was. So I was happy to hear a lot of that.
Did you have any strange questions that just kind of threw you off guard?
Not really. I was kind of expecting at least one or two, but I didn't really get it.
Nelson, I want to talk to you about maybe a personal preference here. Is there a situation in the NFL you see right now where you say, you know what, I could go in and I could help that team? I would like to play. I would like a chance to play for, blank. Who would that be?
I mean, there's not really. Everyone asks me, because I'm from L.A., so everyone back home asks me if I want to be on the Rams or, you know, since they're coming home now. But I tell everyone I'll be happy no matter where I end up. And I think, you know, with my type of game, the way the game I play, I think any team can kind of use that reliable receiver that's going to, you know, move the chain for them. So I'll be happy wherever I end up.
It's an exciting time for you. Where are you going to be on draft day?
I'll just be at home, you know, with my family and some close friends, enjoying it.
Yeah, hopefully it works out for you. Congratulations on a very successful career at Colorado. I know you've left a lasting legacy there. You're one of the guys that's going to be mentioned in the record books for a long time to come. I know you mentioned that it didn't really hit you being the all-time leader, you know, for Pac-12 as far as career receptions go. Is it starting to sink in now that you're no longer in college, and did it take a while for that to creep in?
Yeah, I've been kind of, these past, you know, a few weeks, been missing Boulder. I got to go back for my pro day. And I was out there for like a week and a half, kind of just, you know, and some memories started to come back to me. It was a place that, you know, I was super happy to spend those 4.5 years at. I'm going to try to get back there as much as I can, but not just football, even just the whole college experience is something that was really special to me. So, you know, it's definitely something I'm going to miss, and always going to be a place that I have good memories of.
Well, Nelson, I'm definitely confident that you're going to hear your name called at some point during the draft. Hopefully we can get you back on and talk about the excitement of becoming an NFL player once it happens.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, like you said, my name gets called and we could talk about that.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you very much, Nelson. Best of luck to you in the next couple of weeks.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on.
That's Nelson Spruce, wide receiver from Colorado, again, making the transition into the NFL. A lot of college football talk. You can never go wrong with it here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we return, we are going to talk boxing tomorrow. Manny Pacquiao, Timothy Bradley, they go toe-to-toe for the third time at the MGM Grand Garden in Las Vegas. We'll bring in our boxing insider, one of our boxing insiders, Calvin Miller. It's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
Hi, this is Ron Barr, host of Sports Byline USA. I just want to remind you that if you want to know what's going on in sports, be sure to check in with Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Drive Time Sports digs deep into the local athletic scene, giving you exclusive interviews from coaches and players. Each show consists of special guest interviews and a listener discussion of timely sports topics. Get your local and national daily sports fix weekdays with Drive Time Sports from 4 to 5 on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
That sound, of course, means it's time for some boxing talk here on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 103.9 FM, 7:50 a.m. We're on the eve of a Manny Pacquiao fight. Now, typically, on the eve of a Pacquiao fight, the national sports world is buzzing. But I think due to some recent comments that Pacquiao has made, and you stack that on top of the fact that he was outpointed by Floyd Mayweather in pretty much every possible scenario last May, the buzz for this fight may be a little bit more under the radar. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that, we have one of our boxing insiders, Calvin Miller. Calvin, it has been a while since we've gotten you on the show, but I appreciate you taking out the time on this Friday to talk some Pacquiao Bradley.
Oh, yes, sir. It's always a pleasure. Happy Friday to everybody.
Yes, happy Friday to you, too. On the eve of this fight, it's the rubber match between Pacquiao and Bradley. Again, they split the first two fights. That first fight, highly controversial as far as the decision goes. I definitely don't have a popular opinion. I believe that that fight was a lot closer than many want to think. I had it 7-5 Pacquiao, which in turn, I don't necessarily think it's too big of a shame if it goes the other way, if I have a one-round difference. But that's what we're talking about today, Calvin, the fact that Timothy Bradley has an opportunity to step back into the ring and get revenge on Pacquiao, because honestly, that first win did a lot more damage to his reputation and markability than a loss would have. And it's sad, but that's just the fact.
Yeah, it is. You know, he's done a lot of interviews where he talked about how that first victory over Pacquiao, even though it was a victory, you know, it took him to a pretty dark place, and it's good to see him back. It's good to see him ready to go for tomorrow, and it's good to see him back in the frame of things and ready to mix it up again.
I definitely agree. Most recently, he goes up against Brandon Rios. He has Teddy Atlas in his corner. I think that Bradley looked a lot more sharp offensively in this fight. A lot of that has to do, though, with the competition. I mean, we've seen what Pacquiao looked like just a couple of years ago against Brandon Rios. At this point in time, I think Rios is a spent fighter, no disrespect. But Bradley did look a little bit more assertive offensively. I think we can expect that tomorrow night, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Teddy Atlas being in the corner is a great motivation for Bradley. You know, we saw it in the Rios fight, even though, you know, Rios didn't really come to play like he should have. You know, in the corner, in between rounds, Teddy Atlas was motivating. He was instructing Timothy Bradley on what to do, and I expect to see that tomorrow night as well.
You know, we've had Bradley on the show multiple times. Hopefully we'll get him back on following this fight. He's such a likable guy. And really, I think that his boxing skill gets overlooked. In my mind, he's a top 6 pound for pound guy in the world right now. He doesn't get a lot of love. And again, I think a lot of it has to do with his marketability taking a huge hit. We can go back and talk about the Provodnikov fight. He was a warrior in that fight. I mean, it was stellar, so pleasing to the casual fan. What is a win for Timothy Bradley tomorrow night do for his future in the sport of boxing, not only financially, but finally from a popularity standpoint?
I think this win over Manny Pacquiao, I think it should keep him pretty much at the top of the welterweight division. Me personally, I already have Timothy Bradley at the top of the welterweights right now, with Floyd being out of the picture. So a win tomorrow night should just solidify that Timothy Bradley is here to stay, and he's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this is a guy that's very underrated. Now, on the flip side of that, it's been billed as Manny Pacquiao's last fight. Bob Arum has been very hesitant to bill it as Manny Pacquiao's last fight. Freddie Roach has also been somewhat hesitant to say it's Pacquiao's last fight. Pacquiao seems to be the only one claiming it's his last fight. Do you believe this is the last time we see him in the squared circle in front of millions around the world?
I think it depends all on the motivation. I know Freddie Roach has done a few interviews recently where he said, you know, even in training camp, Manny Pacquiao just started sparring the way he wanted Pacquiao to spar about 2 weeks ago. So I think it all depends on the performance tomorrow night and Manny's actual motivation. You know, he has a lot of political things going on, and whether his drive is there to continue boxing or not, we're definitely going to find out tomorrow night.
Of course, the recent comments that Manny Pacquiao made about homosexuals has not helped his popularity worldwide. that definitely takes away a little bit as far as the buzz for a Pacquiao fight goes. But how much does the loss to Floyd Mayweather take away the intrigue in a Pacquiao fight? I've said on the show for years, and this is nothing against Pacquiao. I'm being truthful when I say this. A lot of the buzz and the marketability and the spark around a Pacquiao fight was built on the fact that maybe this was the guy that could knock Floyd Mayweather out. Maybe this was the guy that could deliver Floyd his first loss. We saw that last May. It didn't happen. Wasn't even remotely close. How much of that affects the buzz around a Pacquiao fight?
For this fight, I think it definitely affects it. You know, not only losing, and, you know, everybody thought this was the guy to beat Floyd Mayweather, and then he lost, but then the way he lost as well. He got shut out, and then he came and, you know, used the shoulder excuse and said that's the reason he couldn't perform. And I think a lot of the fans, whether casual or hardcore, I think they kind of looked at that as sour grapes, and they kind of look at Manny Pacquiao a little different now. Manny should have stood up and said, you know, Floyd was the better guy. He beat me. But, you know, he had the case of sour grapes, and, you know, it's affecting him. He's going to see it probably in the pay-per-view numbers tomorrow night.
Which is unfortunate because I think we got a great fight. I also think we got a great undercard. Out of the non-televised fights, there's four very competitive fights, and then you have the three. We get a chance to look at Arthur Abram. We're going to get a chance to look at a budding superstar, I think, in Valdez, who's a perfect 18-0 with 16 knockouts. The one thing I can say about a top-ranked card, and this is in comparison to Golden Boy, I think it will be in comparison to whatever Mayweather Promotions does in the future, Bob Arum does a terrific job of building a competitive card front to back, and that's always pleasing for the customer.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. One thing about Bob Arum, he can put together a great card, and I expect to see multiple knockouts tomorrow night. If not the main event, maybe on the undercard, definitely.
Yeah, and again, the guy that I'm definitely telling the spectators to pay attention to is Valdez. I think he's got a very tough matchup tonight. A little bit inexperienced. He's got a pretty stellar amateur career underneath his belt. But, you know, this is a guy that's knocked out 16 of his last 18 opponents, so pay attention to that. That'll be the first televised fight tomorrow night. I think we're going to see a knockout there. Arthur Abram is a guy that will pull in the casual fan based on off name recognition. I wouldn't be shocked to see Abram touch the canvas tomorrow night, though.
Oh, no, I wouldn't be shocked either. But, you know, that's the beauty of boxing. We never know what can happen under the big lights, they say.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully it's not the last time that we see Manny Pacquiao in the ring. Speaking of Manny's counterpart, Floyd Mayweather, these two are always going to be connected. He was in the headlines because of Adrian Broner's comments on April Fool's as he TKO'd Ashley Theophane. And we can talk about that fight. I don't know if there's really a need to. Broner had control of it through the first half. I thought Theophane actually showed some signs of life before a premature stop. But after the fight, Broner gets in the ring. He calls out Floyd Mayweather. I give this fight a 0% chance of happening. 0%. Nobody wants to see Mayweather-Broner because it will be a 12-round skunk. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely agree. I would have Mayweather shutting out Adrian Broner. You know, Adrian Broner, he's a real flat-footed fighter, and you really saw that in the Theophane fight. And, you know, I think he's just trying to get a payday out of the situation. Broner has a lot of issues going on right now. He's admitted that he had an alcohol problem, and, you know, he's got the issue with the attempted robbery or whatever's going on with that situation. And I think he needs to get his house in order before he tries to even continue the sport of boxing because, you know, there's a lot of issues. He's a great fighter. Definitely a great fighter in the ring. There's some stuff he can improve on, but, you know, personally, in his personal life, he's got to have that together before he can get in the ring and do what he needs to do.
I'll give him credit in one regard. Obviously, the Theophane fight wasn't something that we'll be talking about for the next months to come, but we will be talking about the possibility of Broner bringing Floyd Mayweather out of retirement. So somehow, some way, he found a way to keep his name relevant following this fight. Any chance that Floyd Mayweather bites to come back into the ring? I view this as very slim. You never know with Floyd. He's announced his retirement two times before. I mean, he announced it following the De La Hoya fight. He comes back, he fights Hatton. Announces it after the Hatton fight, comes back, he fights Marquez, takes another year off, comes back, and he fights Mosley. Floyd has really picked and chose when he wants to step into the ring. Do you think he comes back one more time to get that 50th win?
I could see him coming back to get the 50th, either against Danny Garcia, who's undefeated still, so, you know, that would be You know, it would be 0-0, and maybe possibly against the Thurman Porter winner. I mean, so those are two options right there. I wouldn't have a problem with either option if he decided to come back, but Broner definitely out of the question.
Let's flip back. We'll talk Pacquiao Bradley once again, third fight tomorrow night. I'm going to tell you how I see this fight playing out, and then I want you to rebuttal and tell me what you think here, Calvin. I think that obviously Bradley's a better athlete at this particular time in his career. We know by watching the first two fights that the straight left hand was the most effective punch for Manny Pacquiao. I think you got a very savvy trainer in Teddy Atlas who can make some adjustments to that. I think you're going to see a more polished offensive fighter in Timothy Bradley. And if Pacquiao can't get that straight left to land, and he continues to lunge with his jabs, could be trouble for Pacquiao tomorrow. I'm actually going to take Timothy Bradley to win this fight by decision, although I think it may be a close decision. I just haven't seen enough out of Manny Pacquiao over the last couple of fights to give him the benefit of the doubt in this one.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to agree with you on this. I'm going to take Timothy Bradley by split decision. And I think the most important thing with Bradley is going to be, in between rounds, to listen to Teddy Atlas. Whatever Teddy says, go in there and execute. And another thing that Timothy Bradley can really show tomorrow night that he didn't really show in the first two fights, I think pivoting with his footwork is going to be the most important thing with Manny Pacquiao, between the pivoting and between maintaining the distance. Because Pacquiao is going to be there. He's knocking on the door 24/7. He's going to come in and he's going to try to fire off the left hand, the combinations, and Bradley just needs to be ready to, you know, give the footwork, slide out, and then counterpunch.
I agree with you. It's tough to go against Pacquiao. He's probably, no probably about it, he's the second pound-for-pound fighter over the last 25 years. He's number two in the rankings. So, and again, I don't think there's much debate there, but it's just at a stage in his career where I think Bradley, he's the better athlete, and he may even be a tad bit more polished with his motivation right now than Pacquiao as well, and that's why I'm giving him the edge, Calvin.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I said, Teddy Atlas, he brings something out of fighters, and I think that's something we're going to see tomorrow night. You know, even if Timothy Bradley takes his foot off the gas for a minute, Teddy's going to be right there on him, giving instructions and telling him what needs to be done. And Bradley's been saying the last few days at the press conferences, this is going to be a totally different fight.
Calvin Miller, one of our boxing insiders, does a terrific job on a podcast as well where he talks everything from movies to sports. Does a great job. I know you're a boxing aficionado. I know you love your MMA. You love wrestling as well. Where can the listeners find more Calvin Miller?
Of course. They can tune into the podcast. It's on iTunes. It's called The Chronicles Podcast. We talk everything on there. It's unfiltered, so go ahead and check it out. And it's on iTunes. It's on iTunes, Libsyn, and, of course, Blueberry, all the podcast areas. You can check it out.
Calvin, it's always so much fun to catch up with you. Enjoy the fights this weekend, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right. Have a good one.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this. That'll wrap up the boxing talk, but we'll flip it back over to the national sports scene when we return.
Hello, boys and girls.
Need a sports fix? Tune in to KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM, the home of Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini, from 4 to 5 p.m. and Sports Byline with Ron Barr from 8 to 11 p.m. Monday through Friday. KOAL is also the play-by-play home of Emory High, USU Eastern, the Utah Jazz, Utah Utes, and NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Racing. KOAL News, talk, sports in Eastern Utah.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Life in the fast lane, moving at the speed of life, and I can't slow down. Only got a gallon in the gas tank, but I'm almost at the finish line, so I can't stop now.
Back for the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports here on 103.9 FM and 7:50 a.m. Why not end it with some college football talk? I mean, we've been talking a lot about college football pretty much throughout the entire week. This is some big news. It came through a couple of days ago. Florida quarterback Will Grier is transferring to West Virginia. This is pretty big. Now, per NCAA transfer rules, he's going to have to sit out next season, so he's going to work with the Mountaineer scout team. But there's also a factor in that the NCAA suspended Grier for one calendar year after a positive test for you know, performance-enhancing drugs. This is a guy that is fully capable of being a legitimate threat at the quarterback spot in college football. In fact, Florida was right there in the top 10. You lose Greer, and things just really went south for Florida. Still unclear how much of a punishment he's going to have to, I guess, serve before he can walk onto the football field. Now, before the transfer news came out, Florida was actually going to appeal with the NCAA to see if they could actually get that sentence, you know, knocked down just a bit. If he is deemed eligible, definitely figures to be a nice fit with West Virginia. He's got 2 years of eligibility remaining, so you plug him into that particular offense, I think he could definitely do some wonders. That's some big news as far as college football goes. Some other news regarding a Florida school, this one Florida State, running back Dalvin Cook. He's going to have to miss the spring game in the next couple of months following right shoulder surgery. Now, the stud back hurt his shoulder after being pinned down to the ground in a pass protection drill. That was according to Coach Jimbo Fisher. Cook is not in jeopardy of missing any of the preseason camp. So, according to Fisher, they cleaned out the shoulder a little bit. He'll be good to go. Missed all of spring practice in 2014 as a true freshman because he injured his shoulder again. But Fisher said the latest injury is not related to that one. Cook also had left shoulder surgery before enrolling at Florida State, so it seems to be kind of a reoccurring problem here for Dalvin Cook. It's essentially just one more thing that Coach Jimbo Fisher is going to have to worry about. We've seen flashes of what Dalvin Cook can do. A lot of people gearing up for the college football season. It happens around springtime because you got the spring practices happening, and again, do not forget the Utah Utes will participate in their spring game on April 23rd, that's at Rice-Eccles Stadium. We had Coach Kyle Whittingham on the show yesterday. If you missed that interview, no problem. You can log on to CastleCountryRadio.com. Just click on the Drive Time Sports link, and we can get you taken care of. We might as well wrap up this week of the show by again flipping over to the NBA. And again tonight, here on KOAL, the Utah Jazz playing host to the Los Angeles Clippers as they try to hold off the Dallas Mavericks, or catch the Mavericks and hold off the Houston Rockets. 7 o'clock tip-off for tonight's game. Utah entering at 39-39. And as we talked about during the intro, Doc Rivers really doing the Jazz a solid. No Chris Paul, no Blake Griffin, no J.J. Redick, no Wesley Johnson, no DeAndre Jordan. Clippers are rolling out about 7 guys for tonight's contest. I'm going to be there live tonight. I'm going to cover this game. I'll bring you back some post-game audio as we get down to the nitty-gritty as far as the playoffs go. Utah right now, the 8th seed. They'd get a chance at Golden State in the opening round. And I've been talking to a couple of different people that cover the NBA. One in particular told me this would be a fun matchup, a scary matchup for Golden State if the Jazz and Warriors go toe-to-toe in the opening round. I don't know if it's scary for Golden State, but you can't ignore the fact that Utah has played the Warriors extremely tough. I mean, back on March 30th, Golden State beat the Jazz in overtime 103-96. You go back to March 9th, they handled the Jazz 115-94. And again, that was a game that we were talking about. I remember having the conversation here. Utah looked a little scared in that game. Golden State had their way in the second half. Utah looked a little afraid. You go back to December, 103-85. Again, a lopsided game in favor of Golden State. But then if you go back to November, the Jazz lost a 3-point outing with the Warriors. Yeah, it could be interesting. I think it goes 4, maybe 5. Maybe Utah could get one. It's an intriguing matchup, but again, Utah just a little weak at the point guard spot. And that's even with the stellar play of Shelvin Mack. They don't have anybody that can stop Steph Curry. Nobody. Rodney Hood can get hot. Shelvin Mack can get hot. Gordon Hayward is very capable of the three. Rudy Gobert gives Golden State some problems down low with his length. Doesn't matter. That team is too good. But hey, if you're a young team, one of the youngest in the league, and you get a shot in the postseason, might as well go all out against the Warriors. Utah would have nothing to lose in that series. Nothing. And when you talk about individual matchups, yeah, there are a couple that do favor Utah. Go after the NBA champs. I remember Oklahoma City. Now, the Thunder have not won an NBA championship yet. But one of the first years that they qualified for the postseason with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, they went up against the Los Angeles Lakers. And they gave the Lakers all they could handle. I think that series went 6, if I remember correctly. And it was a great growing experience for Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. I would be fine with the Jazz staying put at 8. In fact, I would prefer the Jazz play Golden State over San Antonio. Because it's going to be a more up-and-down type series. They're going to lose either which way. They're going to be the heavy underdog nonetheless. But I'm all for the Jazz going up against the Golden State Warriors. I think it would be a great learning experience for them. Utah does control their own destiny. A win tonight would go a long ways as far as clinching a playoff spot goes. Again, David Locke, Ron Boone, they'll bring you the play-by-play tonight at 7 p.m. We are out of time. I'm going to be back to do it again on Monday live in the studio. Thank you to Nelson Spruce. Thank you to Calvin Miller. Enjoy a heavy sports weekend. We'll catch you back here on Monday, same time, same place, right here on Drive Time Sports. Be safe. I am out.